Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
This is the football podcast, GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it's time. Fridays, what do we do on Fridays? We make picks. We're going to make those picks, okay? We're going to be talking Jags, Pats for the first game. We're going to be talking Vikings, Eagles for the second segment. Did I say first game? After I said Jags, Pats, I meant first segment. So this segment, we'll be talking Jags, Pats. We'll be talking Vikings, Eagles for the second segment. And for the third one, we're going to be talking about this season for the other teams who aren't in it. Like our little recap. What did we think of this season? All right, talk about the things that went on. Talking about the people who surprised. Talking about who disappointed, you know? So we'll be doing that. And then for the fourth segment, we'll pretty much be talking about anything that comes to mind as far as football goes. All right. Who knows? We could talk about anything, to be honest. I'm not even too sure, actually. But when we get there, we'll get there. All right. First segment means Jags, Pats. I've been torn. Not really torn. I pretty much knew who I was going to pick for this game all week. But there was a point yesterday where I was starting to talk myself out of it and was starting to lean towards the other team. All right. So you'll just find out my pick at the end of the segment. Let's get into it. We got Jacksonville heading into New England. All right. This is this game is weird. All right. Because the way I've been looking at it, I've been looking at it through matchups, just through each team, players and all that, but I'm not sure why ESPN writers, ESPN reporters, it's mostly been ESPN too, I think some people on Fox Sports, but everyone is acting like New England has won this game already, all right, and that they're going to be in the Super Bowl, and they're probably going to win that one too, okay? I'm not too sure that that's how it's going to end up. I don't see how you could just look at both of these teams. And I think really it's all coming like this. Like everyone putting the Patriots in the Super Bowl already saying that really Jacksonville has no chance. All right, believe it or not, writers and reporters and all those guys out there, they're not always telling you what's on their mind, really. All right, I feel like now more than ever, reporters and writers and all those guys and girls out there, they have like a certain narrative that they like to push. Certain agenda, and that's why they're putting the Patriots in the Super Bowl. All right. And again, this is like, I don't understand why. Like, everyone's treating it as if it's Blake Bortles versus Tom Brady. Whoever plays the best is going to get his team to the Super Bowl. That's not the case. That is not the case at all. Okay. It's not Blake Bortles versus Tom Brady. All right. It's Leonard Fournette versus that Patriots front seven. It's Jalen Ramsey versus Rob Gronkowski. It's this Jaguars secondary versus this Patriots receiving corps. All right. It's this Patriots offensive line versus this Jaguars defensive line. Okay. It's not just Bortles versus Brady. Okay. Because if it was quarterback versus quarterback, then obviously Ben Roethlisberger should have won last week, right? He threw for over 400 yards, threw for five touchdowns. All right. Blake Bortles only had 214 yards and a touchdown. And if it was, like I said, if it was quarterback versus quarterback, Steelers win that game, am I right? So that's not the case at all. It's honestly really frustrating to see that people who have, like, just those high position jobs right there are already treating it like the game's over. Be better than that. All right? It's cool if you want to pick the Patriots. I totally understand if you want to pick the Patriots, but at least give some substance to your argument rather than, oh, Tom Brady, he's going to beat Blake Bortles. That's it. No. Do better. Talk about the matchups. All right? Because I'll tell you this much. It's not going to be like Tennessee versus New England last week where New England blows them out. All right? I think the spread currently in this game is at about 8 points. I think that's way too much. All right? I don't understand how you could like think that Tom Brady is going to go out, throw for over 330 yards and 3 touchdowns against this defense. That's not how the NFL works. That's not how it's ever worked. I don't understand why they try to push the quarterbacks win games when it's always been the defense winning games. Always. All right? Always. It's just, it makes no sense to me, okay? And like I said, I haven't made my pick yet. Who knows? I could be picking the Patriots, but I think it's just unfair to Jacksonville that they're getting absolutely no respect for the second week in a row. All right? We got to get over it. If you listen to the podcast on Tuesday, I told you. All right? The era of the quarterback is going down. Once these older guys retire in about 2 or 3 years, all we got left is Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I guess you could say, is established quarterbacks. Like true established quarterbacks that are game changers. Andrew Luck could be, but he's going to be in Germany getting his shoulder fixed, all right? We're not sure if Andrew Luck is ever going to be coming back as the same. I hope he does, because Andrew Luck, when he's out there, is a top 5 quarterback when he's completely healthy, okay? But like I said, I mean, going forward, I mean, people are like, oh, I mean, this is just 1 year where we get Foles versus Keenum and Bortles in there. Expect it going forward, okay? Expect it. You're going to start the NFL. Let me tell you this, all right? The NFL, the play style and all that is going to get so much better since quarterbacks are starting to go down. Now we're going to see complete teams, all right? Now it's not going to be just how the Colts do. I mean, the Colts are always going to do this, I feel, if Andrew Luck comes back healthy. But it's not just going to be the Colts where they draft an all-world quarterback and he makes everyone around him better so they don't need to ever fix up anything on that team. It's not going to be like that anymore. You're going to start seeing teams building actual teams, okay? You're going to see more complete teams. You're going to see teams, like I said, like the Jaguars with Blake Bortles. They're in the AFC Championship game, 1 game away from the Super Bowl. That's going to happen even more. I'm not saying Blake Bortles specifically, but teams with quarterbacks like that. All right? And I say you jump on board now before it passes you up, because that's what's going to happen. So, now that I got my little rant out the way, let's talk Patriots-Jags. Let's talk matchups. Let's talk the stuff that actually matters, the stuff that you could actually make a pick off of. All right? So, let's start off with the Patriots. You got Tom Brady. And you know what? Tom Brady's currently got a hand injury to where it's kind of hush-hush right now about it. But I think this might be a bigger deal than what everyone thinks. All right? Tom Brady's currently got stitches on his knuckles. Last time I checked, having stitches on your hand playing quarterback usually isn't a good thing. All right? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a genius. But common sense has told me it's not too good. All right? Let's say Tom Brady has to play this game with a glove on, throwing the ball. I'll tell you this much, throwing a football with your bare hand is completely different than throwing a football with your with a football glove. All right, football gloves are a whole lot more sticky. Hand is not as sticky. All right, it's going to make a little bit of a difference. Not a huge difference because Tom Brady still knows how to play the quarterback position well, but if he's got to wear a glove, that might be a bit of a problem. All right, so like I said, yeah, this whole Tom Brady hand injury, kind of been behind the scenes, but I think it's something. Okay, he missed Thursday's practice. He was limited in Friday's practice. If it was nothing, he would have participated fully. Okay? So Tom Brady, I mean, I'm kind of worried about him. And you know what? Tom Brady against pressure, defensive line pressure, is bad. All right? Tom Brady does not play well when defensive lineman's in your face, in his face. Okay? At all. That's Tom Brady's, that's been his biggest weakness since he's been in the league. He cannot play well under pressure. He needs a clean pocket. I mean, and I'm not saying anything new. Every quarterback needs a clean pocket, but some quarterbacks are able to roll out when they're under pressure. And like guys like Aaron Rodgers, guy like Russell Wilson, to where pressure doesn't really affect them. Tom Brady can't roll out. Tom Brady can't move. All right? So if Calais Campbell's in his face, That's going to be a problem for him because he's not going to be able to roll out and make more of the play. That's going to be it. Play's going to be over. All right? I don't get why people are assuming that the Patriots are going to win this game by 10+. It's not going to happen, I'll tell you that much. All right, so that's one matchup right there. The defensive line versus Patriots offensive line. Patriots offensive line isn't that good. They're average. Jaguars defensive line might have the defensive player of the year on it. All right? Jaguars defensive line has a guy who made first pro all pro first team as an edge rusher and second all pro team as an interior lineman, Calais Campbell. Then you got the guy on the other side whose name I can't pronounce. And you got Marcel Darius in the middle. You got Malik Jackson. All right? Deion Lewis can't run the ball against his defensive line, I'll tell you that much. All right? And you know, that's another thing, too. Deion Lewis last week had 9 catches for 79 yards, I believe. These Jaguars running backs are quick. Fast. They get there. All right? I'm not sure if Deion Lewis is even going to be able to do well as far as catching the ball at the backfield. All right? And you know what? What about that Patriots receiving corps? Last week, Danny Amendola had 11 catches for over 100 yards, I believe. You think he's going to do that against AJ Boye? You really think so? How about Brandon Cooks? What's he going to do against Jalen Ramsey? Not much. Didn't do anything last week. And the Tennessee Titans have a terrible secondary. The only thing that scares me about the Patriots offense right now is Rob Gronkowski, probably the best tight end of all time. All right, I'm not sure what the Jaguars are going to do in order to limit him. You're not going to stop Gronk at all. You can limit him and hope that he doesn't kill you. All right, I've been seeing that Jalen Ramsey's been talking about how he's probably going to be covering Rob Gronkowski for some of the game. I'm not sure how that matchup's going to work out, honestly. I mean, Gronk is just a whole other animal. Jalen Ramsey, I don't think he's big enough to be physical with Gronk, so he's going to have to pretty much have lockdown coverage and be able to stay in front of Gronk, because if you let Gronk get the ball, Jalen Ramsey's not going to be able to bring him down first time. All right, I was thinking that the Jags probably should have had a guy like Telvin Smith or Miles Jack cover Gronk, and then you put a guy like Barry Church or Tashaun Gibson on him to double him. All right, but putting Jalen Ramsey on Rob Gronkowski, I mean, I know they're going to be matched up a few times during the game. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. Like I always say, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the league, but Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end of all time. I understand people still think Tony Gonzalez is, but he's old news. Rob Gronkowski is by far better than Tony Gonzalez. All right. And as far as Jacksonville's offense goes, I mean, Bill Belichick, you already got to know what he's going to want to do against that offense. Stack the box. Try and stop Leonard Fournette. Force Blake Bortles to try and beat you. All right. That's the game plan right there. That's the way that the Patriots beat the Jaguars. You got to force Blake Bortles to play terrible. Last week I said in order to beat the Steelers, he needed to play average. He was exactly average, all right? Exactly average. I think he had completed 14 out of his 26 passes. That's nearly 50% right there, a little bit over. All right, only had 214 yards. That's average right there. And only a touchdown. Average. All right? He's got to be average again this game. Don't do too much. Don't try and throw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. All right, because like I said, I mean, you already know New England. You already know that New England is going to try and stop Leonard Fournette first and foremost. I'm not sure if they can do that. Leonard Fournette is an Adrian Peterson type back. Big, strong, and quick and fast. He's got it all. All right? I'm not sure if the Patriots defensive line could stop that. You're going to tell me 40-year-old James Harrison is going to be able to stop Leonard Fournette? All right? Last week, the Patriots had 8 sacks. But I'll tell you this much. They're not going to do that this week. Tennessee's offensive line is brutal. All right. And as far as the Jaguars receivers go, I don't expect them to do too much because they're only going to go as far as Blake Bortles takes them. This game comes down to, I think there's 2 big factors right here, okay? The game comes down to Leonard Fournette versus the Patriots front 7 and Rob Gronkowski versus the Jaguars defense. All right. I'm not sure who's going to be on him the entire time or if they're going to be switching off. Those are the 2 biggest factors. Tom Brady is not throwing for more than 300 yards in this game. Book it. Lock it down. All right? He will not throw for more than 300 yards. Tom Brady won't throw more than probably a touchdown or 2. He's not hitting 3 touchdowns like he did last week. I'll tell you that much. All right? It's going to come down to Rob Gronkowski. If Rob Gronkowski doesn't do much in this game, Patriots are in big trouble. All right, and if they have trouble stopping Leonard Fournette, they're in even more trouble. All right, and you know what? My pick is the Jaguars. I got the Jaguars winning this one 20-14. All right. That's my pick right there. Yesterday, I was kind of wavering on it, kind of thinking about going with the Patriots, but I get this game's in Foxborough. I get it's Tom Brady, but it's bigger than Tom Brady now. All right, so I got the Jaguars winning 20-14. That's all I got to say about this game. Next up, we're going to be talking Minnesota Vikings versus Philadelphia Eagles. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. All right, last segment we talked about the Jags and Pats game. I went on a nice little rant, lasted about 6 minutes or so, then we talked about the game. All right, I picked the Jaguars over the Patriots. I have the Jaguars winning 20-14. Two biggest factors in that game. All right, comes down to Leonard Fournette versus that Patriots front seven, and it comes down to Rob Gronkowski versus that Jaguars defense. Personally, I see it being Rob Gronkowski being limited, but still playing well. I see Leonard Fournette playing extremely well. I will take Leonard Fournette. If Leonard Fournette is running the ball, well, that means that the Jags are going to be able to get down the field a whole lot better than Rob Gronkowski playing well. All right, Leonard Fournette, you can give him the ball about on first down. Obviously, you got first through third down, unless you're close for fourth and one or something like that. You can give Leonard Fournette the ball two times and be pretty close to being able to get that third down, making it a first down. That's where Blake Bortles comes in right there. Third down, third and what? Four, third and three, third and five. Blake Bortles can complete that. That's why I think that it's more valuable for the Jaguars to have Leonard Fournette going rather than it is for the Patriots to have Rob Gronkowski playing well. You can't throw the ball to Gronk every single play. You can give the ball to Leonard Fournette the majority of your drive. All right. So that's why I got the Jags. I got them winning 20-14. Tom Brady's hand injury is a lot more serious than we think it is. He's got stitches on his hand. He might have to wear a glove for this game. And I'll tell you this: I'm not a quarterback expert by any means, but I feel like it's common sense that it's easier to throw a football with your bare hand rather than with a sticky football glove. Okay, so that's why I got the Jags, 20-14. You know what? I was going to make my lock pick for this game, but I'm going to make the Jags my lock pick. All right, lock it down. That's my lock pick. All right, wild card weekend, I made the Falcons. I think it was the Falcons or Jags as my lock pick. Either way, both were right. And then I made the Vikings my lock pick last week against the Saints. That was right. Again, lock pick means that I have no doubts about it. All right, so you know what? I'm going with the Jags this week against the Patriots as my lock pick. Lock it down. If I'm wrong, let me know. Okay, now we're going to talk Vikings-Eagles. Both of these teams are extremely similar. Both have great coaching staffs. Both have pretty similar running games. The receiving corps for both teams, I'll take Minnesota's over Philly's any day of the week. So I guess that's the biggest outlier right there. And both have top five defenses, probably top three defenses. Yeah, probably top three defenses, honestly. All right. I mean, obviously Jacksonville's is number one. Then I go Minnesota's and then probably Philly's. But, I mean, L.A., as in the Rams had a pretty solid defense and the Falcons had a solid defense. All right. So last week, you had the Falcons facing off with the Eagles. Eagles drew up the perfect game plan on offense for Nick Foles to be successful. Okay, you had him throwing underneath routes, screens to the running backs, and you had J.J. running the ball a whole bunch in the first half. Everyone knows that that's what's going to take for the Eagles to win, all right, to be able to do that. If I'm the Vikings, I'm running zone, and I'm taking away anything underneath, all right? Nick Foles is basically how I felt about Case Keenum for most of the regular season, all right? Up until probably about last week, I didn't trust Case Keenum at all. Like, just didn't believe in him, didn't think he'd be able to sustain it, thought eventually he was going to crash and burn. I'm talking about football, like football terms, by the way, not actually, all right? Just got to make that clear. But, like I said, yeah, eventually thought he was going to burn out, it was done. Case Keenum is still playing well. All right, and I guess that's where Nick Foles comes in right there. I'm still waiting for Nick Foles to have that Oakland Raider game part two. All right, Nick Foles did play well against the Giants. I think he threw, what, 3 touchdowns, I think? And then I'm thinking, you know, he's going up against the worst defense in the league next week in the Raiders, and he's going to play even better. No, he played terrible. All right. That game scared me away from Nick Foles. And now I just haven't been able to put my trust into Nick Foles to pull out a game against a team like the Vikings. Last week I should have picked them. I feel like that was the most obvious pick I should have made. All right, I mean, I don't know. Just the Falcons have just been such a disappointment, but I don't even want to talk about them because I don't get frustrated. But now it's going to be difficult for me to trust Nick Foles because you know what? The Vikings' defense is a whole lot better than Atlanta's. Boy, let me tell you. All right? In order for Philly to have a chance in this game, they have to have the underneath stuff ready for Nick Foles. Nick Foles can't throw deep. Remember last week that throw he had where it bounced off the safety's knee into Nelson Aguilar's hands? You see how bad of a throw that was? That was terrible. All right, if I'm Minnesota, I'm taking away the running back screens. All right, I'm taking away Zach Ertz, and I'm forcing Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith to beat me deep. All right, that's what it's going to come down to, I feel, and that's why, honestly, yeah, I did make Jacksonville my lock pick against the Patriots, but, I mean, I don't see how you have Philly winning this game, honestly. Unless I'm just not seeing something with Nick Foles that everyone else is. Case Keenum versus Nick Foles, comparing them, Case Keenum's the better quarterback right now. All right? Nick Foles has been serviceable, but he hasn't seen a defense like this Minnesota Vikings one yet. All right? Atlanta's was good. They're not on Minnesota's level. I'll tell you that much. And, I mean, it's like I said, for Philly, in order for them to win, they got to figure out a way for Nick Foles to either, I mean, honestly, I don't see Philly winning. I don't. Like I said, these teams are similar. All right, I mean, J.J. last week ran for about, what, 56 yards around there? I think it was 54, actually. It's probably going to be the same this week, maybe even a little bit less. All right, Philly has to figure out a way to get him going. Like they got to figure out to get a way to make that same exact game plan from last week go this week and work out just as well. If they can and Nick Foles is forced to throw the ball deep, they have no shot whatsoever. All right, no shot. Okay, because Xavier Rhodes is going to be on Alshon Jeffrey most likely. Not even most likely. Xavier Rhodes will be on Alshon Jeffrey, and I'm taking Xavier Rhodes against Alshon Jeffrey every single day of the week. All right? Alshon Jeffrey's a good receiver, but Xavier Rhodes is just as good at his position. Torrey Smith, he's okay. Nelson Aguilar, he's like a wild card type. You're not really sure what he's going to do week in and week out. All right, the only thing that kind of scares me right now for the Vikings is Adam Thielen and I think it's Andrew Sandejo are questionable versus the Eagles. Sandejo's got he's the safety. He's got a concussion right now. He's trying to get through concussion protocol. And I think Thielen, I can't remember his injury. Let me see. Both are expected to play. All right. Yeah, so Thielen's dealing with a lower back injury. Andrew Sandejo, concussion. But he was a full participant in practice on Friday. Let me see. How did Thielen do? Thielen only missed one day of practice. He was limited for both, but I'm almost positive he's going to end up playing, okay? All right, so that's nothing to worry about now. So let's talk matchups from Minnesota's side of the ball. Like I said, on defense, play zone, take away the underneath stuff. That's pretty much all you got to do. Force Nick Foles to beat you deep, and you're going to be in good shape. As far as the offense goes, Case Keenum has to go out and play well. You can't rely on Latavius Murray or Jerick McKinnon. Case Keenum has to be the guy. This isn't like a Jacksonville situation where Blake Bortles needs to just be average. All right. Minnesota doesn't have the offense that Jacksonville does. They don't have Leonard Fournette like Jacksonville does. Minnesota's best players on offense are at the wide receiver position, at the tight end position. That's their bread and butter on offense. So Case Keenum obviously has to come out and he has to play well. He's got to get it going. All right, and that's going to be difficult against this Philly defense. Philly is stacked up at all three positions, D-line, linebackers, and secondary. All right, Philly can get to the quarterback, they can limit your tight end, and they can create turnovers. All right, and you know what? Now I'm starting to talk myself to go with Philly. Because Nick Foles is not the sole reason as to why Philly could win or whether Philly wins or not. Nick Foles isn't the sole reason to that. Case Keenum might be the biggest reason as to why the Vikings win or lose. And I'm just realizing this. All right, I don't think either team is going to score much. But like I said, I don't expect Latavius Murray or Jerick McKinnon to do too much. They've been productive, but Philly's defense is no joke. And Case Keenum, like I said, he's played well. But how well can he play against a defense like this? Both of these quarterbacks have not played defenses like this so far. All right. Yeah, New Orleans has a solid defense. Yeah, Atlanta has a solid defense. But Eagles' defense is better than New Orleans. Minnesota's defense is better than Atlanta's. All right. So, you know what? I think I might be changing my mind on this pick. But I'm not sure. The biggest thing is I'm not sure how Philly gets points. All right? Because like I said, if J.J. isn't playing well, and I'm not too sure he is going to because that Vikings front seven is really good. I mean, can Nick Foles take them down the field constantly? Honestly, I think this game is going to come down to first team to score 14. But first team to score 14 wins. And I'm not sure which team is getting 14 first. I think I have to go with Minnesota because I think they have the better offense. They got the better quarterback. They got the better wide receiving corps. And running backs, I probably give it to Philly, but it's not that far off. All right. So, I mean, I think I am going to end up with going with Minnesota. But I'm not as confident in this game as I was about a couple minutes ago. All right, so like I said, I'm going with Minnesota. That's my pick. They have the better offense, so that's why. Defenses, both are about even. But like I said, it's going to come down to first to 14, and I think the Vikings are going to be able to get there. All right, my prediction for this game, score prediction is going to be 17-10 Minnesota. I'm not sure how Philly gets that touchdown, but I think they are going to get it. So, yeah, that's my prediction. I got the Minnesota Vikings winning by a score of 17-10. The NFL isn't going to be happy about it, but we're going to be getting a Jacksonville Jaguars versus Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl. I'm all for that. Give me defense. Give me running game. All right? It's going to be fun. I hope this is how it ends up. But we're going to have to wait and see. Sunday's games are going to be real good. It's going to be they're going to be both low-scoring games, no doubt about it. All right? Philly has a chance, but I'm not sure if it's a great chance. So I'm going to go with the Vikings. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about the – we're going to be reviewing the 2017 season, talking about anything, you know. And that for that fourth segment, we're going to be talking about young teams who could make take the next step next year. All right, in that fourth segment. So like I said, stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Last two segments, we spent those talking about the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game. As you know, I picked the Jacksonville Jaguars winning by a score of 20-14. And I picked the Minnesota Vikings winning by a score of 17-10. I need a Jacksonville Jaguars versus Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl. I need it. All right. I'm tired of seeing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl year after year. Give me something different. I know the casual fan is going to hate it, but it's what's best for business. Actually, it's not. That'd be terrible for business for the NFL, but it's what's best for me, so let me get it. All right. So 2017. Such an odd year. As far as, I mean, in life, in the real world, but in football too. All right. I mean, we can go team by team and come up with something that was bad for each team. Actually, should we do that? I don't know. I mean, this was like the year of the injury right here. New York Giants, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall out for the year. Carson Wentz blew out his knee. All right. Let's see. Who else? Aaron Rodgers, broken collarbone. Sam Bradford got hurt. Maybe a blessing in disguise for the Vikings, for being real here. All right, Atlanta Falcons, not really any injuries there. Carolina, no. New Orleans, no. Tampa Bay, just bad team all around. Or Jameis Winston's shoulder was hurt for a bit. Carson Palmer, David Johnson, both out for the year. Carson Palmer broke his arm. David Johnson tore his Achilles, I think it was week one. Then for the Seahawks, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor out for the year. Miami, Ryan Tannehill tore his ACL in training camp. They had Josh McCown for the Jets playing well, and then he broke something, I think. Was it? I can't remember exactly what it is. He tore something, broke something. I can't remember, but nonetheless. And then, let's see. AFC North is pretty clean, I think. AFC South, Deshaun Watson, probably the saddest injury of the year. Guy blows out his knee after lighting everyone up, looking like a top 10 quarterback. Richard Sherman's out here saying that next year he'd be a top 5 quarterback, and then boom. Remember, I got the notification on my phone. I think we were doing a sports podcast, and it said Deshaun Watson goes down in practice with a non-contact knee injury. Non-contact knee injury is basically code for, yeah, he blew his knee out. He's done. That's what that means. All right, yeah, so Deshaun Watson. Then you had Andrew Luck on IR for most of the year. Comes back to practice. Tries to see how his shoulder's feeling. Feeling more discomfort. Back on IR. Now he's going to be heading back to Germany to get the Kobe Bryant treatment. I really hope Andrew Luck comes back. That's one of the best quarterbacks in the league when he's 100% healthy. I mean, DeMarco Murray for Tennessee was hurt for a lot of the year, I feel. Then you had, anyone from the Chargers get hurt? Nope. Surprisingly, Keenan Allen kept it safe. Kansas City? No. Denver, no quarterback. Oakland, disappointing. But this year was just a lot of big injuries, honestly, man. I'm not sure if it was I don't know. Like, it was just this year was kind of weird in the NFL. I mean, you had teams like Dallas who went 13-3 and they lose Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games, and then boom, Dallas just doesn't look good at all. Giants, they were supposed to be a playoff team, just couldn't put it together. Eli Apple looks like he's going to be gone after this year. Big locker room distraction. I mean, I know they did lose. They lost their entire receiving core at one point. I mean, Sterling Shepard was hurt at one point at the same time as Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall. I think Lucky Whitehead on that team was hurt. And the Eagles looking like Super Bowl contenders, playing well. And then, boom, Carson Wentz. Sad. All right. But, I mean, this year, I mean, it was I'm not sure what to make of this year. I mean, it's like I said, like on Tuesday's show about the quarterbacks, I mean, we're heading into a new era where quarterbacks aren't going to mean as much. All right. And I mean, like, you had teams like Tampa Bay. Let's talk about Tampa Bay for a moment. Tampa Bay, I thought they were going to be a playoff team. And I'm not sure if Tampa Bay didn't become a playoff team because they had to play those 16 weeks in a row because the hurricane in Florida wiped out. Pretty much shut him down for week one, or what happened. But like Jameis Winston, let's actually talk quarterbacks right now. A lot of quarterbacks took a step back, I feel. Jameis Winston took a step back. Derek Carr took a step back. Marcus Mariota took a step back. Andy Dalton took a step back. Let's see, anyone else? Dak Prescott took a step back. Let's see, anyone from the NFC South besides Jameis? No, quarterbacks played pretty well there. Yeah, so right there, you had Jameis Winston took a step back. Marcus Mariota, Dalton. I know I'm missing someone. You had Prescott. Is that it right there? Yeah, it's 4 quarterbacks right there. Let's talk about, and Derek Carr, 5. All right, so let's talk about those 5 quarterbacks and why they probably took a step back. Let's start off with Jameis. All right, did Jameis take a step back, or did we overvalue him a bit? All right, because I think Jameis Winston's a good quarterback. I think Jameis Winston's biggest, yeah, you know what? Jameis Winston did take a step back, okay? Last year, he was a good quarterback, and it was looking like this year, this is where he was going to take his next step to becoming a great quarterback. That wasn't the case at all. All right, Jameis Winston just had huge problems with turnovers, and made a bunch of silly mistakes, just couldn't get out of his own way. Jameis Winston, like, that whole team took a step back, I feel. Like I said, they were supposed to be a playoff team, but Mike Evans really couldn't get open, didn't play well. DeSean Jackson, I mean, the biggest thing, because I remember the Bucks were the Hard Knocks team for HBO this past offseason. They were talking about how they brought in DeSean Jackson to take away the double team from Mike Evans, and DeSean Jackson was going to be a nice deep ball threat for Jameis Winston. That never happened. That was never the case this season, all right? He just couldn't get it going for some reason. I don't know why, but Jameis Winston took a step back this year, all right? And he really just needs to figure it out next season because, I mean, this team should be fighting for a playoff spot year after year in the future, all right? I'm not sure what the biggest problem was with them was, whether it was Dirk Koetter, their coach, or whether it was just, like I said, Jameis Winston just taking a step back. But either way, they need to figure it out. Let's talk about the guy that got drafted after him, Marcus Mariota. All right, Marcus Mariota, first 2 years of his career, looked extremely good. Played well, was a great red zone quarterback. This year, I'm not sure what it was, but the guy would play terrible this year. Had 15 interceptions, all right, didn't throw for too many touchdowns, didn't throw for too many yards, just couldn't put it together at all. You can't even say he wasn't consistent because he wasn't good enough to even, he didn't put in good enough performances to even consider him as someone who was off and on. He was just off the entire year. All right, this team, I'm not sure how the Titans even made it into the playoffs, honestly. I mean, I feel like they more just limped into the playoffs rather than a team who should have been in the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they ended up beating the Chiefs in the wild card round. I mean, that had to do more with the Chiefs and their coaching staff just pretty much shooting themselves in the foot and just getting away from everything that they should have did. But yeah, like I said, Marcus Mariota took a huge step back this year, and I'm not sure if I had to do it more with Mike Mularkey. They fired him, and I saw that obviously they're going to look for a coach more to play to Marcus Mariota's strengths. But, I mean, Mularkey was there for the last couple years, and I don't understand how Marcus Mariota goes from playing extremely well, looking like he's on his way to being a really solid quarterback, to throwing 15 picks and not just being able to be accurate or put it together by any means. I mean, You had Corey Davis out there, Rashard Matthews, Eric Decker. I mean, that's not a great receiving core or anything like that, but, I mean, it's pretty solid. You got Delanie Walker, and then you got DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. Marcus Mariota just played terrible this season. And as far as Derek Carr goes, Derek Carr, I feel like he gets a bad rap, and he shouldn't. I think it's unfair to criticize Derek Carr this season, okay? Derek Carr last year, if he plays, I'm sure that the Raiders are probably going to be playing the AFC Championship last season, all right? Sure enough, he gets hurt, though, right towards the end of the season. Connor Cook comes in, or Matt McGloin. I mean, I think they both played, and they were both pretty brutal. All right, this year, Raiders started off kind of slow, but you think they might be able to put it together and play well. And then Derek Carr fractures his back. Okay, he misses 1 week and comes back after that to play for the rest of the season. There's no way that he was 100%, and there's no way that his bad play wasn't affected by his bad back. That had to be it, honestly, I feel. Like, Raiders were extremely disappointing this season, but they really weren't going anywhere with that defense that they had. And just like I said, I mean, Derek Carr, I think the reason why he took a step back this season was because of that back injury. I mean, like I said, there's no way you can fracture your back, whether it's a small fracture or a big fracture, and come back after missing 1 week and expect to play well. I mean, I understand that they only have, what, a year, maybe two in Oakland left, and they want to win something here, at least make it to an AFC Championship. But eventually, I mean, you just got to start preparing for the future, and you can't be having Derek Carr coming back after missing 1 week with a back injury. All right, so I think that was the biggest reason right there. I mean, Dak Prescott, I think he's a product of team's game planning for Ezekiel Elliott more than him. Last year, Dak Prescott looked good, but without Ezekiel Elliott and even with him coming back this season, Dak Prescott just looked like a poor man's Alex Smith. Just didn't play well, just a game manager quarterback. And that's probably one of the reasons why Dez Bryant struggled so much this season. I mean, yeah, Dez Bryant had problems catching the ball and pretty much just getting open. But, I mean, with Tony Romo, Dez Bryant was looking like one of the best receivers in the league. And now with Dak Prescott, a guy who doesn't really throw the ball deep too much and can't, honestly, that's probably why you saw a guy like Dez Bryant struggle. But, yeah, Dak Prescott, we learned a lot about him. We learned that, you know what, he's probably not who we thought he was last year. Could be a good quarterback still, but nonetheless, just wasn't that good this year. Also took a step back. And then Andy Dalton, I'm not really sure what happened with that Bengals team. They have talent. All right, you have Andy Dalton, who's been a pretty good quarterback so far in his career. A.J. Green, one of the best receivers in the league. Brandon LaFell's a solid number two. All right, Tyler Kroft played well. Tyler Eifert, I think they need to pretty much get rid of him. He's just an injury-prone player. Defense was solid, above average. And then you had Joe Mixon, who once the middle of the season started happening and towards the end, I mean, he was playing well. I think he did get hurt at the end, was out. But, I mean, I'm not sure what really happened with the Bengals. They just not sure if they're tired of playing for Marvin Lewis or what, but Andy Dalton just didn't play well this season and didn't look good at all. So he took a step back also. So, I mean, this was the year of injuries and the year of quarterbacks just who looked good last year, just not look good this year. But that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking about younger teams who could be a whole lot better than what they were this year. All right. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
SMC Football Podcast. Last segment, we talked about quarterbacks who took a step back this season. Talked about the injuries that happened too in the league. There's a lot of them. But now we're going to talk about teams who didn't do too well this season, but couldn't take a step forward next season. All right, let's get into it. You guys know if you've listened to the podcast over the since I've been here, I'm really high on the Bears next week or next year. Not to make the playoffs, all right, but to be better, be an 8-9-win team possibly. I think they're going to be that good. This year they won 5 games. I think they could be 3 or 4 games better next season, right? You got Mitch Trubisky, who's going to be in his second year, okay? Showed some signs of what he could be this season, even with John Fox trying to limit him in his first, 3 games it was. Poor guy couldn't throw the ball to save his life. Not to save his life, but, I mean, literally, he couldn't throw the ball. John Fox would barely have him throw the ball in a game, okay? Now you got a guy like Matt Nagy coming in who did well with Alex Smith, all right? Had that Chiefs offense playing well the last few years. Bring in Mark Helfrich. He's going to run a nice little fast-paced spread type of offense for Mitch Trubisky. Brought in Notre Dame's offensive line coach, the guy who consistently puts out first-round offensive linemen from Notre Dame year after year. You got a defense who's young and developing and played well last season. They create turnovers and they're quick. Also retained Vic Fangio for 3 more years. That was huge right there. And you got Jordan Howard, one of the top 10 running back in the league. And then now all you got to do is find that number one receiver from Mitch Trubisky. I think that the Bears could win at least 7 games next season. I think they're going to be at least a 7-win team. I think they're more going to be an 8- or 9-win team, but at least it's going to be 7 wins. They're going to take a nice little step forward next year. And I think that in the division next year, they're going to be able to pull out at least 2 wins. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat Green Bay twice, but I think they could beat the Vikings and Lions at least once. Who knows? Maybe it could steal 2 games against the Vikings next year. Maybe, possibly. But don't sleep on those Bears next year. I think they're going to be really good next year. All right. Now, who else do we think could take the next step? Let's go with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They didn't play well this season. All right. Talked about how Jameis Winston took a step back. But I think that they're going to spend a lot of this draft on defense. And they're going to be able to fix up the problems that they had. I think Jameis Winston finally realizes that he needs to stop being a knucklehead. Okay. And he needs to start being smarter with the ball, playing quarterback. There's just one play that sticks with me so far from this season where Jameis Winston's about to be sacked near the red, like he's in the red zone about 7 yards from the goal line. He's about to be sacked. Instead of taking the sack, he's like, as he's going down, he throws the ball up in the air. It's a pick, but there was a penalty on the play, so the interception never was counted. And it's just plays like that really hurt Jameis Winston this year. I feel like the guy just really needs to be smarter as a quarterback and needs to stop trying to make something out of nothing sometimes, all right? I understand that you're always trying to make a big play, but as a quarterback, you got to be a whole lot smarter. You just can't turn the ball over. If you don't turn the ball over, then your team has all the chance in the world at winning. Just look at the team like the Buffalo Bills. Tyrod Taylor pretty much had the worst receiving corps in the league. I mean, he did have Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin's not as good as we think he is, all right? Each of the receivers that they drafted this year just played terrible, just weren't producing. And Tyrod Taylor helped get him to the playoffs because he didn't turn the ball over. Whenever you don't turn the ball over, like I said, you're always going to have a shot to win. That's one thing Tampa Bay needs to do next year, all right? Fix up that defense and stop turning the ball over so much. They do that, they're going to be a team who fights for the playoffs. I think they'll be near it next year. All right, then you got a team like the Houston Texans. You're going to be getting Deshaun Watson back next year, all right? You only got about, 5-6 games out of him, 7 games. And you know what? In those 7 games, the dude looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If he comes back off of this ACL injury and is able to pretty much plant his leg, throw deep as he was last season, the Texans are going to be a scary team. And that division might be one of the best in the league next year because you're going to have the Texans, the Jags. Not sure what to think of the Titans, but they were a playoff team this year. And then hopefully Andrew Luck is ready to play by the time the season starts. I need Andrew Luck back in the league because if not, then Colts are just going to be in even bigger trouble, all right? So, I mean, yeah, next year the Texans, they don't have their first-round pick this year. I think it belongs to the Browns. But even without that, I think that you can, in the draft, you can, because I'm not really too sure what Houston needs to fix up. I mean, they do need to probably bring in a new offensive tackle and bring in a couple of guys in the offensive line. But, I mean, Will Fuller, I think he's a one-trick pony, but he plays well when Deshaun Watson's out there. You already got one of the best receivers in the league, and DeAndre Hopkins. Lamar Miller's a pretty good running back. And the biggest thing with that defense is they just got to get healthy. All right, Whitney Merciless, J.J. Watt, when they get back, that's going to be a huge help to the defense. And I think that's just the biggest thing right there. I mean, the Texans are going to be a playoff team, I think, next year if Deshaun Watson can come back from that ACL injury and be just what he was this season when he wasn't hurt, you know? So I think the Texans are going to be a team that takes a big step next year. And you know what? Another team that could win 6 games next season is the Cleveland Browns. All right. Obviously, any one win is a step up from this past season. But listen to me here, all right? So the Browns currently have the first pick, and they currently have the fourth pick. All right, if they draft Josh Allen, I'm done with them. I'm not even going to talk good about him. That's the worst possible pick they could make, all right? You do not want Hugh Jackson to try and develop another quarterback. And Josh Allen, I don't understand the hype around him at all. I don't get it. I don't get why people think he's better than Lamar Jackson, or why people talk so good about Josh Allen but don't talk so good about Lamar Jackson. They're essentially, they got the same traits. Both got strong arms. Both not as accurate. All right. Both very athletic. And, I mean, Mel Kiper went out yesterday and said that, like, when he was asked about Josh Allen's completion percentage, and it hurts my head so much to hear Mel Kiper talk sometimes now. Like, I don't get it, but. So he goes out and he's talking about Lamar Jackson, and he's knocking Lamar Jackson down, talking about his stats and his completion percentage, okay? And listen to this. When he's talking about Josh Allen and someone brought up his accuracy, he says, stats are for losers, or brings up as numbers, because Josh Allen didn't have those that good of numbers this year, all right? Completion percentage was around 56%. I think that was worse than Lamar Jackson's. Mel Kiper says, stats are for losers. He wins. Wyoming went like 8-5 this year. They didn't do much. Josh Allen didn't play well at all. Lamar Jackson actually won some games this season. All right. And he had better stats. Mel Kiper, I don't get why people put stock into what he says. I don't get it. Mel Kiper is bad. All right. I don't like Mel Kiper talking draft or anything like that. It's just brutal to hear. I don't know. Mel Kiper is just Mel Kiper, I guess. But going back to my point, I mean, if the Browns draft Josh Allen, kiss the season goodbye. They need to go with Sam Darnold. If I'm them, I'm going with Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, I think, is the best quarterback in the draft. But you know what? You draft Sam Darnold. You know what you do with your fourth pick? You draft Saquon Barkley. Everyone's talking about Barkley like he is the best running back prospect of all time. And I see it. Saquon Barkley was the best running back in college football last season. All right, he's big, he's physical, and he's fast. He can cut well, and he's also a solid returner too. All right, and if you have a running back like that who starts off the season playing extremely well, that's going to take a lot off of your quarterback's plate. It's going to allow him to develop some more, and he's not going to have to do everything like DeShone Kizer did last year. Plus, you got Josh Gordon. Hopefully, Corey Coleman can stay healthy. Hopefully, David Njoku takes the next step. All right, he showed flashes of what he could be this season. Hopefully, he fixes that up next season. And that defense, it's got talent. The only problem with it this year was that they were just too young. So, it's going to be another year to develop, and the defense is going to play better. So, I mean, the Browns could go 6 wins, maybe 7, honestly. I thought this past season with DeShone Kizer, they could have been a team who went at least 6 games. I was wrong, but that's just what they're missing right there, a quarterback. All right, and if you bring in Saquon Barkley, boom, you're set. So if I'm the Browns, I'm getting Darnold, and I'm getting Barkley, and that's about 6 wins right there at least, I feel. Because Baltimore, I mean, Joe Flacco, that's just another year with him as their quarterback. Joe Flacco really hasn't played well since the Super Bowl. Not sure what the Bengals are going to be, so I mean, we should have to wait and see about it now. Let's see, who else is going to take a step up next year? San Francisco 49ers. That's going to be a scary team next year. All right, I'm not sure. People were talking about how they're going to make the playoffs next season and all that. I'm not sure if I want to go that far. All right, Jimmy G played extremely well in the 6 games he played. But now teams are going to have film on him. Teams are going to be able to scout for him. All right. I think the 49ers are going to be a team who competes for the wild card. I still think that division belongs to the Rams. And we're not sure what Seattle is going to be next season. I'm not sure if they have their new offensive coordinator yet. They need a running back, and they need to fix up that defense a little bit. And if they do that, I mean, Russell Wilson could keep them in it without a doubt. So, I mean, you might see possibly 3 playoff teams out of that division. But San Francisco, I mean, they started off, 0-9 or 0-10, I believe. And then Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, starts 6 games, wins them all. So, I mean, that's got to be a good sign there. They got to lock him up first, though. I mean, if I'm them, you pretty much got to pay him whatever he wants. And, you know, there is that possibility that Le'Veon Bell isn't back with the Steelers next year. And like I was talking about, I think I was talking about it on the sports podcast yesterday. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, the only real logical option for him besides Pittsburgh is San Francisco, since they have the most cap space. So, I mean, watch out for the 49ers next year. Teams who might take a step down next year, the Buffalo Bills. They got to find a quarterback. They need wide receivers. Let's see, who else? I think the Buffalo Bills are the only team I'm really down on right now. I mean, the Chiefs might take a step back with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. This is going to be a first year starting for him. The Steelers, if they lose Le'Veon Bell, they're going to take a step back. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of new good teams next year that were bad this year. There's going to be a couple of teams next year that could be not as good as they were this year. So, we're just going to have to wait and see. But that's actually going to wrap it up for today's podcast. First and second segment, we talked about the AFC and NFC championship games. Again, I picked the Jaguars to beat the Patriots 20-14, and I picked the Vikings to beat the Eagles 17-10. Third segment, we talked about pretty much just talked about the injuries that went on this season. Talked about quarterbacks who took a step back, and for this segment, we talked about teams who could make a step forward next season. So, like I said, that's going to wrap it up for the GSMC Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back on Monday to talk about each of the Conference Championship games, so it's going to be a fun one. So, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.